My assignment this morning is a little difficult. I've been going through the book of Proverbs, and I've come to a passage that I have a message for somebody. The difficult part of my assignment this morning is that I don't know how to find that person. It's very possible that that person isn't even here this morning. Now, generally, when a pastor speaks on a subject, no matter what he speaks on, it fits somebody, right? It's just very possible that what I have to speak on this morning isn't going to fit anybody, or at least they're not going to think it fits anybody. And it doesn't have to do with the size of the congregation. If I were speaking to thousands of people, I suspect that nobody there would say, "Hey, that's me." As a matter of fact, if I were on national television at prime time speaking to millions, I suspect that there are very few who would say, "Hey, he's talking to me." Now, what I also think is that a lot of people would say, "Hey, I know somebody he's talking about." Telling you, I've got a very difficult assignment this morning. Because you see, in going through the book of Proverbs, we've come to a passage on the subject of laziness. And it's just hard to find somebody who's going to admit to being lazy. Now, in preparing for this message, I went and talked to a few people and a little group of people. Matter of fact, yesterday when the men met, I talked to them about it. And they're all saying, "Oh, yeah, I can be lazy." And then I would say, "Well, now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. If I said behind your back, 'That's the laziest guy in the church,' would you be offended?" "Oh, yeah," is the standard answer I got, right? So we'll admit to being a little lazy some of the time, but we don't really think we're, any of us really think we're lazy, right? So, here's what I want us to do. I want to ask a question. Well, who are we talking about? Just exactly who is a lazy person? At what point do you classify yourself as being lazy? Now, what I'm going to do is have us look at a number of different passages in the book of Proverbs, and we're just going to learn from laziness this morning. So this may not directly apply to you, but you may be able to learn something. Okay? Maybe about somebody else, and who knows, you might even be able to apply this to you. So with all that in mind, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall your poverty come on you like a robber, and your need like an armed man." Well, obviously, these verses are talking about the sluggard. First question is, who's the sluggard? Well, I discovered that there are three different words in Hebrew, in the book of Proverbs, used of the sluggard. This is the first, and this particular word means to be lazy, to be sluggish. It is sometimes translated to be idle. If you look at all the references in Proverbs, and we're going to look at most of them, if not all of them, this morning, then what you will discover is this is a person who resists work, or for that matter, exertion of any kind. They have a disposition toward idleness, and they move very, very slowly. Remember the song, "Down the Lazy River by the Old Mill Stream"? Well, that's the picture of the river meandering down the stream. It's just moving very slowly, tends to be lazy, and just has any resistance toward exertion of any kind. Now, that's the lazy person. I want to ask and try and answer a couple of questions. Number one, what are the characteristics of this person? The other thing I'd like to talk about are what are the consequences of being that kind of a person? And then I want us to look at the cure for laziness. So let's begin by looking at just some of the characteristics of this kind of person. I'm going to give you three characteristics of a lazy person. And it all begins in this passage. Look at verse 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? And this fits the description I gave a moment ago of somebody who just wants to resist working and has this propensity to just be idle and just wants to lay in bed. Some of the commentaries, matter of fact, many of them suggest that verse 10 is the sluggard's answer to that question. He says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. What an image. I want you to know a couple of things. First of all, he says, a folding of the hands. Think about that for a second. You could have busy hands occupied with work. You could have wringing hands indicating worry. Or you could have folded hands waiting to fall asleep. Notice what it says. A little slumber, a little, just give me a little, notice three times, a little more rest. And so that's what the lazy person says. Look, I just need a little more folding of the hands. That's what he says, indicating he doesn't want to do anything that's going to cause him to exert himself. I think the finest story I could find on the subject of laziness that gave you a picture of it was a story about a soldier that ran into the barracks and shouted out, I'll give $10 to the laziest man here. And everybody in the barracks jumped up and rushed to the door to convince him they were the laziest, except one. He stayed in bed and he said, somebody roll me over and stick it in my back pocket. That's the picture. Just, I don't want to get out of bed. Oh, you never felt like that, did you? You know? Just a little more, just a little more. Hit the snooze button on the alarm. Just a little more slumber, a little more sleep. Now, that just sort of introduces the subject. The truth of the matter is there are a number of proverbs that just add to the picture. And I want you to take your Bible. We're going to have a quick little Bible study. Turn with me to chapter 19 and look at verse 24 for a second. And I want to give you these three characteristics. The first is, the lazy person doesn't start anything. And this verse says it as well as any. Chapter 19, verse 24. Chapter 19, verse 24 says, a slothful man buries his hands in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. What a picture! I want you to look at that. This guy's sitting at the table and he's put his hand in the bowl. And he's so lazy, he wouldn't bring it to his mouth. He would rather sleep than eat. Matter of fact, he sleeps when he's eating. And I think the picture here is he doesn't want to start anything. He doesn't want to start eating. He didn't want to get out of bed. He's so lazy. Perhaps this is implying that he doesn't even want to do those things that are necessary for himself. I once heard a bunch of guys talking. One of them said, working hard. The guy says, working hard to keep from working. That's the only work this guy knows. He won't even work hard enough to lift his hand out of the bowl. Now, this is interesting because, or it's significant because, it appears twice in the book of Proverbs. It occurs again in chapter 26. But what I want you to do is just notice that he doesn't start anything. He isn't going to start feeding himself even. So one of the characteristics of the lazy person is he doesn't start anything. The second is he doesn't finish anything. Look at chapter 12, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The slothful man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. By the way, this is the second word for lazy. It's translated slothful, and it actually means deceitful, but it can be translated slack or lax or idle or some such thing. The point is, he starts something, but he doesn't finish it. And the picture is, he goes out hunting, and he actually catches game, and he brings it home, but he doesn't cook it. Incredible. He started something, but he didn't finish it. So a lazy person isn't totally bedridden. I mean, he gets out of bed once in a while. It's just that if he does happen to have some burst of energy and start to do something, he doesn't finish what he starts. I know of a man who took a week off to paint the house. When the week came, he painted a few hours every day and didn't finish it that week. He could have if he'd have worked, but he didn't. 20 years later, that house has still not been finished painting. You know anybody like that? Let me ask a question. Any unfinished projects at your house? Of course, nobody here would identify with that, right? Well, it's the characteristic of a lazy person to start something and not finish it. But there's one more characteristic, and I think this really puts its finger on the nature and the essence of a lazy person. And that is, he rationalizes his laziness. And there are several passages that tell us that. The first is in chapter 15, verse 19. Chapter 15, verse 19 says, "The way of the slothful man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." Now, what this verse is saying is, in the mind of the lazy person, the future is like a field with a hedge of thorns around it. So, of course, I can't get up and move because there are thorns. And this hedge, if I go through that hedge, those thorns are going to rip at my flesh. So I can't possibly do that. Now, there's something very fascinating in this verse. It says, but the upright. What would you expect as the contrast? The diligent. But instead of contrasting the lazy person with the diligent, it contrasts the lazy person with the upright, implying that there's an ethical element here, and perhaps an element of dishonesty, that the lazy person will do anything, including dreaming up some kind of lame brain excuse like there are thorns in the hedge to keep from forging ahead. As a matter of fact, Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 25, and he said, this is a quote from Jesus Christ. He said something about a wicked and lazy servant. He put wickedness and laziness in the same sentence describing the same kind of person. And this proverb tends to do that same thing. That's what it seems to be saying. So, but the point is, he's just going to make an excuse. And the excuse in this case is, well, there's a hedge out there and it's got thorns in it. I mean, you wouldn't want me to get stuck by a thorn, would you? Or turn to chapter 20 and look at verse 4. Chapter 20 and look at verse 4. The sluggard will not plow because of winter. Now, there are two ways to interpret this. The little phrase because of can mean from, and some take it that way as if this is nothing more than procrastination. From the beginning of winter, he doesn't plow. But more than likely, this really means because of winter. In ancient Israel, there was a time in October, November, when they had the former rain, and then the latter rain came in the spring, and it was during this time that they plowed. And during that time, it got cold for Palestine. And so the lazy person says, can't plow, it's too cold. Now, this is the Kokoros translation for Southern California. Can't do that, it's too hot. Same thing. I mean, can't do it. Why, they're thorns. Can't do it, it's cold. Now, let me ask you a question. Are there thorns in some bushes? Yeah. Does it sometimes get cold? Yeah. So, I mean, you could look at the book and say, yeah, that's right. That's probably right. Well, let me give you a third excuse with that in mind. Turn to chapter 23 and look at verse 13. Chapter 23 and verse 13 is not of a passage. And that's real sad because I need that verse real bad. All right. That's never happened to me before, has it? We're going to find it. Where's the verse that says there's a lion in the... It's what? It's 22. 22. Let's look at 22. All right. Wrote the reference down wrong. All right. 22:13. Oh, that's it. Thank you very much. The slothful man says, there's a lion outside. I'll be slain in the streets. Let me ask you a question. Do lions roam the streets?
No.
No. Where do lions roam? In the forest. Even in this time. So now the excuses have moved to the imaginary. I mean, he's making something up. Did you hear about the fellow who said there was a lion under the bed? It's that guy now. No lion under the bed. There's no lion under the street. I'll get killed if I do that. Can't do that. It's too risky. What it's saying? You ever heard anybody say they couldn't do something because it was too risky? Have you ever decided you couldn't do something because it was too risky? How many lions in the streets of your mind? Ooh, ouch. Now, I am of the opinion that when you get to this level, you've really gotten to the characteristic of the person. I think you are chronically lazy. Maybe we should say clinically lazy. You ever heard of clinically depressed? We're going to create the clinically lazy person is the one who's so lazy, they don't start anything, they don't finish anything, and then they make imaginary excuses as to why they can't start something and finish something. And when you get to that level, you are bona fide, certified, clinically lazy. I had a lady once describe to me how lazy her husband was. And this is the story she told me. She said that she left the house one morning with a list of things that he was supposed to do, repairs around the house. She came back in early afternoon, none of them were done, and he was laying on the couch. The minute he saw her, he knew he was in trouble. So he jumped up off the couch and he said, the electric screwdriver needed to be charged, and I'm waiting for it to charge. That is a true story. That's a lazy person. They're going to come up with any kind of an excuse, even if they have to make up one, to explain why they didn't do something. Characteristics of a lazy person. They don't start anything, they don't finish anything, and they got all kinds of excuses as why they didn't start everything and finish anything. Now, let me just tell you, if you start doing that kind of stuff, there are consequences. So the second thing we need to talk about are some of the consequences of being lazy. So let's just go back to chapter 6. I'll show you the first one. In verse 11 it says, "So shall your poverty come upon you like a robber, and your need like an armed man." The conclusion, the result, the consequence is poverty. Only he says it's going to come upon you like a robber comes upon you. Now, you never see it coming. You ever had your house broken into? Raise your hand. You ever had your house broken into? You ever had your car broken into? You ever been robbed? I've had all those things happen. You never know it's coming. It's unforeseen. It's a total surprise. And you're defenseless. I think that's the part. You just feel defenseless when it happens. Well, the poverty is going to come upon you like that. This lazy person, to them, it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be a total surprise. And there's going to be no defense against it when it comes. Now, there's more. Turn to chapter 13, verse 4 for just a second. Chapter 13, verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing." Matter of fact, this again is poverty, but this refrain is repeated in Proverbs over and over again. You're going to end up with nothing. You're going to be poverty stricken. Nothing. You ever hear anybody complain about the nothing they don't have or they do have? I mean, they just have nothing. You hear people complain about that? The book of Proverbs makes a big issue out of the fact that there is nothing gained in life without labor. Matter of fact, the latter part of this verse says, "But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." And that's a repeated refrain in the book of Proverbs. But the lazy man, the one we're focusing on, the sluggard, wants gain without pain, wealth without work. He wants to be a scholar without study. He wants the cross without the crown. And it's simply not going to happen. Matter of fact, look at chapter 20, verse 4. Now, we've already looked at that verse, but we just looked at the first part of it. I want you to look at the second. "The sluggard will not plow because of winter. Therefore, he will beg during the harvest and have nothing." Notice that verse. It does not say he will have nothing and therefore beg. It says he will beg and have nothing. Meaning that it's going to be so bad that nobody is going to want to help you. In the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus told, it says, "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with what they were feeding the pigs." Remember that part of the prodigal son? You ever notice this statement? "And no one gave him anything." You see, the book of Proverbs teaches you should have compassion on the poor people, but you should have nothing but contempt for lazy people. So it's going to get so bad, if you don't do it, it isn't going to get done, and you're going to end up with nothing, and when you get to that point, you're going to beg, and nobody's going to give you anything, because they only have contempt for your laziness. Now, at that point, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to do something. You're never going to rise very far without some effort in life. So look at chapter 12, verse 24. Chapter 12, verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor." So the next consequence is not only poverty, having nothing, it's servitude. That is, if you are diligent, you will rule. If you are lazy, you will be ruled. So you're going to end up in servitude to somebody else. Matter of fact, let me tell you about the somebody else. Turn to chapter 10, verse 16. This is one of my favorites in all the book of Proverbs on this subject. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26 says, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the sluggard is to those that send him." Have you ever been the boss of a sluggard or a lazy person or an irresponsible person? It's like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eye. It's an irritation. Ever give somebody a job to do and you come back and they didn't do it? Is that an irritation? Let me ask this. You ever been a parent? That'll do. But you need to be a boss and have a lazy person working for you to get the real irritation of the sluggard. So the point is, the consequences of being a sluggard are that he's going to have nothing. He's going to end up in servitude, and that means he's going to have a boss, and he's going to irritate the boss. There's one more, and that is, it's going to ultimately lead to death. Look at chapter 21, verse 25. Chapter 21, verse 25 says, "The desire of the soul kills him, and his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare." Notice this. The desire of the slothful. What is the desire of the slothful? We've already seen that. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands for sleep. All he wants to do is nothing. So what does he get? Nothing. Right? So he ends up hungry, as one proverb says, begging and still having nothing. So this says that's going to kill him. He's going to end up with nothing, working for somebody else as their slave, as in servitude. He's going to be hungry, and it's going to kill him. His desire for just don't disturb me, let me alone, let me sleep, is going to kill him. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have some desires. Look at verse 26. He covets greedily all day long. Have you ever known a real lazy person? They live in a world of dreams. They're always dreaming and scheming. They're dreaming about winning the lottery. They're dreaming about striking it rich. I'm fascinated that when you have a person with these tendencies, they're always telling you about things that are going to come about, but doesn't involve a whole lot of effort on their part. So they're greedy. They covet greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does spare. That would be a whole message in itself. The righteous person, and now notice again, the lazy person is contrasted with the righteous. A righteous person, the implication is, works hard, has an abundance, so he gives and he doesn't spare. He's generous. Lazy people are stingy. So, the third consequence is death. You're not only going to end up in poverty, you're not only going to end up in servitude and hunger, you're going to end up in death. So you're going to destroy yourself and you're going to be enslaved to greed and servitude and everything else. Those are the consequences. I got one more point. I'd like to talk about the cure. Would you like to know what the solution is for this fella? Well, let me tell you this. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, people don't change unless there's pain? Pain is not going to do it for this fella. Let me tell you, I know that. There's a proverb we didn't look at that says he's hungry. Hunger didn't do it. We did look at the one that says that he's begging. Shame didn't do it. So pain and shame don't motivate him to work. Matter of fact, I've spent a lot of time talking to people in jails. I preach to a lot of people in jails. Talked to a lot of people that were on the street. They've all got an excuse. There's a lion in the street. There are thorns in the hedge. You know? Every one of them have got an excuse. I have talked to literally hundreds of people in those conditions. And I have never one time met anybody who would say, "It is my fault." So is there any hope for this person? Well, I'm going to tell you, have you ever seen a lazy person become real diligent, hardworking? And look at verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own? There's more hope for a fool than for him. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so the slothful man turns on his bed. A slothful man buries his hands in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. That's incredible. This passage sort of sums up a lot of what's in chapter 6 and a lot of what is in all the Proverbs we've looked at. Notice, he is glued to his bed. He's hinged to his bed. Does a lazy man move? Yeah, like a door on its hinges. A year later, it's still there. It's had a little motion, little action, but no progress. He's hinged to his bed. It says in this passage that he thinks there's a lion in the street. Now he calls it a fierce lion in the streets. So it's getting worse. He says he's got his hand in the bowl. He won't bring it back to his mouth. But here's the point of this passage, verse 12. There is a kind of a person who is wiser in his own eyes than anybody else, and there's more hope for a fool. And then the sluggard is an illustration of that. Look at verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. You can't tell these people anything because they got an excuse for everything. There are thorns in the hedge, and there's a lion in the street. It's too cold. So they got a reason for everything. No matter what you say to them, they're going to come up with an excuse. Is there any hope for this kind of person? Frankly, there's more hope for a fool. That's pretty strong language. You know why there's more hope for a fool? Because if he does enough foolish stuff, it may dawn on him one day, this is stupid, and he'll stop. But the man who's wiser in his own eyes than seven other wise people is just going to keep coming up with excuses. Now hear me, and hear me well. As long as you are making excuses, you're never going to get. Was that plain enough? That's what the lazy person's... Never make any progress, just got a lot of motion, like that door. Wow. Is there any hope? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think the solution is, and it's back in chapter 6. So let's go back where we started and look at the verses we skipped. Verse 6 says, go to the ant. If there is any hope for a sluggard, it's that you go to the ant. You need to study the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. The ants do not have captains, overseers, or rulers. Bees have the queen bee and the worker bees and some kind of an organization. Anthill ants have none of that, but they build huge anthills. Now, I haven't seen any since I've lived out in California for about the last 20 years. But when I grew up in Florida, they used to be huge anthills. I mean, those things got big. I remember as a kid thinking, wonder if they have a basement, and took a shovel and dug one up. I mean, they got floor after floor after floor in these things. I've read that some places in the world, anthills can actually be as tall as a man. So here's what Solomon says. This is the only hope for a sluggard. Go look at the ant. Consider her ways. Notice, as somebody pointed out in the men's meeting yesterday, it doesn't say, be like the ant, then you're a workaholic. It says, consider the ant. The lazy person is not a workaholic, obviously. They're work allergic. So what do? You look at the ant. Now, let me tell you this. What do you think of ants? They're a pest. You know? We're made in the image of God, a little lower than the angels. And Solomon says, you need to go look at the ant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had enough common sense, as a man does, you'd know better than this. If you had enough spiritual sense to go read the Word of God, you'd know better. But you don't got any of that, so I'm going to send you to the ant, the little pest. And it seems to me that part of what this is implying is you need a little humility. Until you decide that you don't know it all, and you got more wisdom than seven other men, there's no hope for you. As long as you're making excuses, there's no hope for you. It's when you say, I need to learn. But I don't want you to be like the ant. I want you to consider the ant. Ants work. But the key word is consider. You see, I do not think you can tell a fool anything as long as he's a sluggard. I don't think you can tell a lazy person anything. I think it has to come from within them. The day a person decides, I am tired of nothing. I am tired of being in servitude. I am tired of the house deteriorating. It's not going to be because somebody told them. It's become that they're going to sit down and contemplate the ant and saying, look at that. He doesn't make any excuses. Look at that. He's working hard. Then maybe, just maybe, I ought to do the same thing. That's the only hope for an ant. I mean, for a lazy person. Go to the ant and consider her ways. Then there's a little hope for you, which means you're going to have some humility. And you, sir, you, ma'am, are going to have to make up your mind. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can tell you anything. You are going to have to decide it's time for me to get off my debonair and move. Hello? All right. Let me sum all this up and draw it to a close. What I'm telling you is this. A lazy person is one who resists work, has a propensity to idleness, is slow to move, and consequently, they don't start anything, they don't finish anything, they constantly make excuses, and so they're going to come to poverty, servitude, and death. And the only hope is that you have enough humility to go learn from the lowliest creature, the ant, that work is what gets you what you want. There are two people who need to learn about laziness. Number one, the lazy person. If perchance you showed up since I started this message, hello out there. The message is, stop making excuses and go to work. If somebody asked you what the preacher spoke on this morning, you say, well, I think it was real simple. I think he was trying to get us to do something. You know? If you're in that category of lazy person, the message is stop making excuses and get to work. But I think there's a second kind of person that needs to learn from all of this. I would send the lazy person to the ant. I'd send all the rest of us to watch the lazy person. So as the lazy person is watching the ant, all of us need to watch him. And I say that because of Proverbs chapter 26. You know what? I didn't write that passage down. What passage is it? There's a passage at the end of Proverbs that talks about looking at the lazy person yourself. And it is in chapter 26, I think. Look at... No, it's not. Oh, wait a second. I know where I put that passage. It's in chapter 24. Go to chapter 24, verse 30. That's where it's at. Chapter 24, verse 30. Chapter 24, and I've passed it. And go to verse 30. What does it say?
Ah.
By the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all grown up with thorns. Its surface was covered with thistles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. Now, here's the guy who's studying the lazy person. And he said, I considered the consequences. His field is all broken down. And I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So poverty shall come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man. I am a wise man, and I passed the field of a lazy man, and I learned something. And what did I learn? I don't want to be like a lazy man. So if you're here and you don't consider yourself a lazy person, I have a for you, and it is stop making excuses and go to work. In ancient Greece, about 500-600 years before Christ, there was a man who lived named Aesop. And he wrote a bunch of fables. And I came across that, and I was reminded that one of his fables was about an ant and a grasshopper. And I forgot to look this up. And last night when I was putting some finishing touches on this, I thought, oh, where can I get my hands on the story of Aesop's ant and the grasshopper? So I went on the internet, and I found two different versions of Aesop's ant and the grasshopper, and I'm going to read them to you. One version goes like this. In a field one summer day, a grasshopper was hopping along, chirping and singing to its heart's content. An ant passed by, bearing along with a great toil an ear of corn he was taking to the nest. Why not with me, said the grasshopper, instead of toiling in that way? I'm helping to lay up food for the winter, said the ant, and recommend you do the same. Why bother about winter, said the grasshopper? We got plenty of food at the present. But the ant went his way and continued its toil. When winter came, the grasshopper had no food and found himself dying of hunger while he saw the ants distributing every day corn from the stores they had collected in the summer. Then the grasshopper knew it's best to prepare for the days of necessity. I found some other sites on the internet, and I found another version of the same story, and it goes like this. The ants were spending a fine winter's day dining on corn collected in the summertime. A grasshopper, perishing with famine, passed by, eagerly begging for a little food. The ant inquired of him, "Why did you not treasure up food during the summer?" He replied, "I had not leisure enough. I passed the days in singing." Then said the ants to the grasshopper in derision, "If you were foolish enough to sing all summer, you must dance supperless to bed in winter." Let's pray. Lord, you once told us to pray. Teach us to pray. But you also said that we were to occupy until you come. So I pray that you would teach us to pray like it all depends on you, because it does. And then teach us to work like it all depends on us, because it does. In Jesus' name, amen.